with you guys. It is really precious. You know, I love when God uses our stories, right? And we all have pieces. We have broken pieces. We have lots of different things in our life. And God uses our story to bring glory to his name, to encourage others. Isn't that what he does with our stories? So today's session, we're going to talk about the heart. It's a matter of the heart. It's so much fun to come to a place where they know Robin, so I can tell Robin stories. And so Robin and I have been friends forever. You know that, and since we were 14. So she has walked with me through all the matters of my heart. I dated, who is my now husband, when I was in high school. You liked him, right?
I loved him.
Yes. Right. But okay, so Dan wasn't a Christian at the time. I didn't know that. He was very religious, but he didn't really have a relationship with Jesus. He said all the right things. But when I went to Moody, I was, you know, preparing for ministry. My husband went to UW Platteville, and he was becoming an engineer, and he was not preparing for ministry. He was on a party train. He did well in those cornfields of Platteville, keeping warm. With a lot of alcohol. So, suddenly I realized in this matter of the heart, it was fall. Fall is my favorite season. I love the fall. Absolutely favorite. I'm in downtown Chicago, and I get this package in the mail. This is old school people. So, you know, those of you that are most people in this room, you know. But we used to get packages in the mail, not from Amazon. It took a long time to get there. They put stamps on. That was what it was. And so I get this package, and I open it up, and oh, my goodness. It is a carved pumpkin. So we had to overnight it, and homemade cookies and fall leaves. And I'm like, that is the sweetest thing. Like, he must really love me. So I called him up, and I said, this is the sweetest thing anybody has ever done. It's so beautiful. I love this. Thank you so much. I can never see you again. And I hung up. And I promise you, if I could have texted, I would. Because I was a chicken. I knew this was not like this was, and I know, and I knew I, but oh, sad day. Dan was my best friend. He was so much fun. He was, you know, great fun. And so enter more matters of the heart. I go to CEF training. I meet a certain young man, and I think, whoo, he's so cute. Actually, the first thing I thought was, what a godly young man. that's what I thought. And so we dated for a while, and he broke up with me, and he broke my heart. Robin was there in the matters of the heart. And long story, don't need to get into it. So fast forward, I graduate from Moody. I've broken up with Dan. My heart has been broken. And mind you, when you're at Moody, that was back in the day. I'm sure it's different now. But I was a good catch. I was a good catch. I was a music major, so I could direct the choir and a kids person. So I could also, you know, direct the children's program. So five proposals from men I'd never dated, pastoral majors. You know, God told me.
Okay.
I'm thinking God would have told me to. So, you know, matters of the heart. So I go to UW-Madison, and in university I meet Tom. And I think Tom is really great. Now, you know, Robin is my good friend. We just talked about it. So, you know, I always tell her the stories I'm going to tell. So it's okay. But she said, I should have told you sooner. I didn't like him. Yeah, well, you should have.
Sorry.
I know. Okay. So I'm at UW-Madison. I'm in this music major. It's my senior year. Dan Thomas, the man that I love, has now come back into my life and said, Kate, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Right? I'm now a believer. I understand what you were talking about. I was on the college campus, and the Gideons came by. They were handing out Bibles, and his testimony is he was failing out of college. He had a job lined up, and he was failing a required engineering class. And so, you know, the Gideons are handing out Bibles, and he's like, I call myself a Christian, and I'm like, oh, so he read through. He was the classic, right? He read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and went, I am not a believer, and he prayed the little prayer in the back of the Bible, came to know Christ. He tells me this story. Okay, see, that's so great. Some of you went, wow, you know what I did? I went, mm-hmm. My grandmother had been praying for Dan for 7 years because she knew that he was the man for me. So she prayed, thank you, Lord, for godly grandmothers who love you. And so I wasn't sure about this, but he was back into my life. He was, you know, talking. We were just friends. I wasn't going to be anything more because I had been that road and I had broken his heart. I'd gotten, you know, yelled at by my mom, right? Because don't break his heart. And I'm like, ha, da, ha. And so all these things, it is my senior recital. If you're, anyway, music, you have to sing and stand there and like all that kind of stuff. And wear a fancy dress. Robin comes down from Michigan. Tom is there, or down and up, I guess. I was in Madison anyway. Tom was there and Dan shows up. And I'm like, oh, this is awkward. But I gotta cut, so like, I gotta sing in French, German, and Italian. Oh my gosh. I gotta pass this thing. I'm, you know, it's crazy. And so then you have this little reception afterwards, right? After your thing, and Tom is there, Dan is there. I'm like, Robin, this is horrible. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, Dan has a car. Robin needed a ride. Is this how it went? No, you had a car. Who did I make you take? Did I make you take Dan or Tom?
I rode with Dan.
That's right. You yes, rode with Dan. So I could take Tom. Okay, matters of the heart get very sticky. And it was bad. It was after that that you told me how much you didn't like Tom and how much you liked Dan. And you guys talked in the car. I knew sometime you had a conversation. I know. Oh, goodness. It's good to have friends who walk with you in all the yuck. So anyway, I didn't get rid of Tom. He got rid of me. And,
Amen.
It's true. And Dan, we had a season of testing. There was a whole year and it was a long story. I wanted to see if he really loved Jesus and he ended up, being transferred with his job. Okay. So he didn't actually pass the class, but his professor took pity on him. And he said, and I don't even know what it is, but whatever it is, the class was thermodynamics. What is that? I don't know. But he said, as long as you don't ever design anything that has to do with thermodynamics, I will pass you. So he did. And I don't think Dan ever designed anything with thermodynamics. I don't know what they are, but he did car things. So I don't know, but he moved to North Carolina. And I'm like, okay, well, thank you, Lord. We've been praying, you know, and so you moved a million miles away and to a state I don't even know where it is. And so, okay. But he came back. And so anyway, season of testing. I said, if you really love Jesus, you'll get involved in a Bible preaching church, right? And so, you know, he's like, oh, yes, I did. And you know what? This guy stood up and gave this testimony and said, you know, if you really want to know about your faith and stuff, you learn to share your faith. And so we're starting this program called Evangelism Explosion. Is anybody familiar with EE? Right. So Dan did EE and he's going to do door-to-door evangelism. I'm like, dude, nobody opens their door. I don't open my door. Do you open your door? I just leave it closed for night. I'm not there. You know, but God did such a work, and the Lord opened some doors, and Dan discovered, oh, you know what? He'd been gifted with the gift of evangelism and love Jesus. And so I decided, well, maybe he loves Jesus. I mean, he goes door to door telling people, okay, now he's weird. No, so we got married. It's been 35 years, let me see, 8 years ago, he decided to leave engineering and go into ministry. And so it's been fun. It's been a fun ride. He was always involved. But I share all that, the matters of the crazy heart. And my friend Robin, who all along would be like, yeah. But we had our share of, you know, you got to have a good friend you can confide in when your heart is broken, right? And when you're crying. Everything flows out of our heart. But our heart can be deceptive, right? Because if our heart is about our emotions can deceive us. Emotions are all over the place. And probably as women especially, we're emotional. But I think men are emotional too, but we can't be guided by our emotions. And this whole weekend we've been talking about being rooted, grounded in Christ. So we can't let our emotions and our heart take over. But the heart, the true heart, the real you, the inside, is the center of everything. Everything. Proverbs 4 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Everything is a matter of the heart. It's not circumstances. They get into your heart, and that's what's flowing out. Whatever happens is there. Sometimes your activity masks your heart. The things you do. You know, I've been in ministry. It's been my job, you know, throughout various times in my life. I worked for CEF. I worked for, in my state of North Carolina. I did lots of ministry things, but sometimes that masked my heart. My heart, I was like, am I really following Jesus? And it was great. Robin and I have been talking over that. What does it really look like to have relationship and get out of these rules-based thing? Not that we don't follow the rules, you know, but where does it come from? Flowing out of the heart, out of the heart. So sometimes maybe your job masks your heart. Maybe your serving masks your heart. And of course, we all like to wear a mask and look good when we're in front of people. But what does the heart look like? You know your heart. You know the inside. And so sometimes things can mask that. And there are four blockages of the heart that I want to talk about. So, and it says guard your heart. I want us to dive into what are those blockages, the things that can get in that maybe no one else sees, but we know are there. Or maybe they're the things we're not even aware of, but they block our heart so that we don't have a heart that's truly focused on God. And the first blockage of the heart is selfishness. Selfishness. When I'm too focused on myself, you know, I'm just born this way. This is me. God take me. This is me. Selfishness. James 3 says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For when you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. That is a very powerful couple of verses, right? Selfishness is more than just, well, you know, I'm a little self-centered, right? It's a deep-rooted problem. It's a blockage of the heart. And we need to give God access to all areas of our life. Complete surrender to him. Complete surrender, not allowing that selfishness to creep in. So blockage number one, selfishness. Blockage number two, bitterness. Bitterness. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 17:1, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. You know, things happen. And sometimes they're huge things. And I get that. And a lot of times it's not any fault of yours. It's things that happened to you, around you. But if you allow bitterness to take root in your heart, it hurts you. It hurts you. And it's such a hard thing. And I understand it. Bitterness is something that you think, yeah, but I deserve it because of all these things that happened, because of this, because of that. And I understand. I mean, I've shared with you some of the things with my mom, and there is no chance for forgiveness. She's gone. She's passed on. And so there's no reconciliation. But there are some things where there's possible, there's reconciliation, but you're maybe in a situation where someone keeps hurting you or things keep happening. And sometimes we do things, excuse me, in the name of Christ, and it's hard. And we think, how did that happen? 3 years ago, well, for 10 years, I worked at a church in North Carolina as a children's director. And I loved that church. It was my family. We watched them grow from 50 kids in ministry to 750. It was amazing. It was incredible. And I was like, Lord, you're a part of something huge, and this is awesome. And the one thing that they kept saying on staff is, you know, we're family. We're family. We're family. And then one day I got called in, and I wasn't family anymore. We want to go younger. We need to go something different, and so we're going to let you go. And it just took me a moment to process that. And not only are we letting you go, but we're letting your husband go too. And so now we don't have a job. Both of us worked at the same church. We don't have a job. My daughter worked at the church. She still had a job. My son was the interim youth director. And they said, we want someone from this certain school, and you're not it. And so you know, we're letting you go. I was devastated. I thought, what in the world? And I got angry. Who do you think you are? And then I realized a bitter root was growing. And I will tell you that sometimes that root just springs up its little head and I think, ugh, dig that thing out. Dang it, get it out, right? I, you know, it's just hard. Things happen. People do unkind things and we didn't see it coming. Not that I think it was bad. We're at a place now that God has moved us. It's okay. But the way things happened, we're not right. But I have no control over that. And sometimes it's a helpless feeling when things happen and you have no control. When people make choices and you have no control. And we really don't have any control ever anyway. But it's hard, right? Because we think we do. We want to. Bitterness. Bitterness is really difficult. And you know what God says about not letting bitterness harbor? He says forgiveness. Forgiveness is so essential. And I spent a long time thinking, forgiveness, you know, I'll forgive you when you say you're sorry. Right? You're sorry. I'll forgive you. Forgiveness is not about the person. It's about you. It's about your own heart. And you've probably heard that, but it is so true. Forgiveness is what brings healing to my heart. It does not mean that what that person did was okay. Whatever it is, it wasn't okay. It was not okay. Abuse, it was not okay. Whatever it is, it was not okay. And when you forgive someone, it does not mean you are saying, okay, we're going to, it's okay. Wash it clean. We're going to act as if it's okay. It's good. No. But God says, and he talks to us about forgiveness because forgiveness brings healing to your heart. It doesn't allow bitterness in your heart so that you can truly follow God. There are times when you say, they don't deserve my forgiveness. I forgive. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. I don't feel like forgiving. Yeah, probably not. Probably never will. I don't know, you know, but choices lead. Feelings follow. Your choices must lead. Don't let your feelings lead you to go. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother wronged is more unyielding than a fortified city. Wow. Disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. When you are the one that's wronged, it's easy to build up walls of anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and you might feel like you're justified. But it only hurts you and your own heart and your ability to really walk in the freedom that God has for you. And so forgiveness, you know, as you spend the night, maybe you have a car ride home for a while, maybe somewhere, but really ask the Lord, who is it that I am holding and harboring bitterness against? Who have I not forgiven? The thing that I'm holding on to because I feel justified. And you totally are. You totally are. Very seldom do we hold such hurt in our heart and bitterness for someone that is totally undeserving. And you later go, oh, it was all me. Usually not. Usually there's a reason. It's there. But if you harbor that bitterness in your heart, it destroys your relationship. It destroys your life. It destroys your future and your freedom, not theirs. And most often, they don't even know or they don't care. So forgiveness, bitterness, forgiveness. The third blockage of the heart is rejection. Rejection. Anybody ever felt rejection? When I was called in and lost that job, that was huge, huge rejection. It was huge rejection. And it was hard. It was hard. That was November. We weren't allowed to say anything. There was lots of things that needed to go. But in the beginning of December, we were doing a conference, and I was a speaker. And guess what my topic was, y'all? Just guess.
Rejection.
And I thought, I don't think I could do this. So because that was it, I knew I needed to work through some stuff pretty quick. Because I was like, I'm such a hypocrite. And I'm like, Lord, you got to help me. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm bitter. And so we just worked through a lot of rejection, the Lord and I. And we went to some counseling and talked through some things. And here's the thing. And it's kind of funny, but kind of not. Kind of unaware. So I did this section, and the pastor that had fired me. I was going to say released me. Nah, fired me. The pastor, he was there. He came up. He goes, Kay, that was the most powerful session I have ever heard on rejection and restoration. And everything in me, you guys, I'm not pure of heart. No, no, everything in me, well, it's you! It's because of you! Oh, my word! He didn't know. I was gracious. You know, but here's the thing. When those things happen, they don't know. He just thought he was releasing me to my next ministry, and I'm like, my heart is broken. I've lost my job, my family, my church, everything, all in one fell swoop. And I'm lost. I don't know what to do. And he had no idea. He had no clue. So you see, when we get those words of rejection, and they usually come in the form of words, sometimes it isn't, but a lot of times it's in the form of words. And it can be as much as, you know, a teacher saying, you know, you'll never amount to anything. It can be that. My son heard that. My son, we were just talking about that. My daughter was like the classic, you know, learner, right? She can memorize really quick and whoo, everything's great. My son, not so much. That wasn't his learning style, and so he didn't fit into school. And so by the time, we homeschooled, we did a private school. Then we did a private Christian school. And so when he got there, he had a teacher who was frustrated because he didn't fit the mold, wasn't seeming to do the work. And she said those words, and I know she meant to inspire him, but she said in front of me, you'll never amount to anything, Josh, unless you can get your act together. And I know she was trying to, but I mean, those words stuck to Josh. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never amount to anything. And my son has a blog that he writes a lot, and he's going into ministry, and that's part of what he does for students and youth and stuff is share with them, you know, how to walk out of that. Because so many times people say things, and maybe you've said it to your kids, things that you wish you could have pulled back. Anybody say something, and you're like, oh. And it's like the tube of toothpaste. You squeeze the toothpaste out, and you just cannot get it back in. It's gone. It's out there. And you can say, I'm sorry for the words. And that's awesome. You need to. We need to be willing to humble ourselves and say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. It was anger. But we can never actually pull those words back. And the same with the words that are on us. But see, we have choices. We can either take that rejection and internalize it and heap it on and go, okay, I take this. Or we can say, nope, I'm going to guard my heart. That is not meant for me. God did not design me that way, and I take that thought captive. But it's a whole process, right? If we just stay in our feelings, we're gonna let that come. But it's a choice, it's a process to say, okay, Lord, I take those words. And I that's the only way I've ever found. I've never had it magically disappear. I have never said, Lord, take this away, and it's just gone. It has had to be, you know, as I look in Scripture, it has to be, I take that thought captive. Lord, I'm going to take that thought. Those words that were spoken over me, that is not okay. That isn't who you designed me to be. Lord, I need to let go of those words. And sometimes it comes in, and I don't know about you, but the shower is where I do my best talking to Jesus. You know why? Because I can talk back a little bit. Anybody have a conversation in your shower? Like, that's where you say the thing you really wanted to say to the person that you couldn't say. Like, that's where it comes. It's so great. Whenever your kids are knocking on the bathroom door and going, Mom, who are you talking to? Nobody. Sometimes we need to process verbally if you're a verbal processor and get it out, but we've got to take those thoughts captive. So our blockages, our selfishness, bitterness, rejection. Proverbs 18:21, you know this verse, right? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death. You have the power to speak life over someone or death. So decide what words you're going to speak. And some of you are like, oh, there are things I wish I would never said. Go back and make it right. Go back and say, I'm sorry. Go back and humble yourself. Was it your children? Did you say things you wish you hadn't? I have. But go back and make it right. I'm going to tell a story. I probably shouldn't do this on video, on recording, but I'm going to. I homeschooled my children. And any homeschoolers? I know we have some homeschoolers, right? So everything go perfectly when you homeschool? It's like, oh, idyllic, right? Absolutely. Okay, I was having one of those bad days, and my children were not doing what they should do. They were not doing their work. I was so frustrated. And we had a lot of time of that, and they were just not doing it. Okay, so I want it to be noted that my children were not doing what they should do. Okay? Just got to put that out there. And I had had it. I was struggling. And I said, you kids are being lazy asses. And I said it like that. Okay, and you can tell the personalities of my children. Because my son said, oh, Mom, you swore. To which I said, it is in the King James Version of the Bible. I literally said that. Now, I know that's not the worst word I probably could have said, but it was a bad one. Let's face it, I still say, I got to go potty, not to the restroom. So, like, I don't say, he was like, my daughter, oh, I am telling Dad on you. And she did. She met Dan at the door. You won't believe what Mom said today. And Dan knew. Ooh, gaze on the edge. I might need to give her a break. I'll take the kids, honey. You just... Oh, it was bad. It was bad. I didn't want to speak such death over my kids. I went back and I did apologize and I told them how sorry I was and I cried and I was like, Mommy, I said, but, you know, right? Now justify. You guys weren't doing your work. Oh, yes. We're sorry, Mommy. Okay. So that's when they're, you know, I think they were 10 and 12 maybe when this happens. My children are now 27 and 29. And about 4 years ago, we were at family dinner. We have family dinner at our house every Sunday night. We have a good time. I just really want to connect with my kids. And so we come and gather at our house and I cook for them and we have a great time. And they said, you know, remember the lazy asses story? See, it's become that. It's become a lazy asses story. And so, I said, yeah. And they said, well, you know, we pushed your buttons on purpose. To which I said, you evil little hooligans. That is not kind. I am probably embarrassed to do this, but I didn't plan to, but why not? I am a children's director, and I do a parent moment on video for my kids. So I'm so glad you guys didn't listen to this one before you had me come. So glad. But I told the lazy asses story. And on video, and my the pastor that suddenly I'm having a hot flash. He made this meme. I don't think it's very nice. And he sent it to me. He goes, "Kay, I've got this." Oh, no. I'm like, "You're a pastor." Oh, there you go. Oh yeah, because you want to see it. Are you dying?
That's good. Oh my God.
I know. And that face, look at that face, is mean. So I guess when I tell that story, I have a lot of pent up emotion. Not a proud moment. Not a proud moment. So I share that to say, you know what, ladies, we probably have some things. Well, maybe you don't. I'm the only one who says such terrible things to my children. You might have some things you need to make right. Some things you need to go back and say, I shouldn't have said that. I was frustrated. I mean, it's okay to help try to explain why you did it. I think anyway. But words of death. We have the power in our words to speak life or death over our kids, over our friends, over those at church, over our workmates. We have that power in our words. But also, we got to kind of become, you know, Teflon. We got to let some of those words go off, because if somebody says something to you like that, that are words that hurt, they didn't do it to help you, no matter what they said. I just want to share something with you. No. And that's not how we do, right? That's not what God says. I love you enough, and hey, I see this in you. I want to do it. But we don't use it with the sarcastic words and accusing. That's not what we do, and speak words of death. And so rejection is a powerful thing that can happen. And I know how it can follow your life. Rejection, when my mom never wanted me, it followed me my whole life. That's a hard thing, and it's been something I've been working through and working on. Rejection is a powerful tool of Satan. But let's not let him get victory anymore in our lives. Let's not let him have victory. The fourth a blockage of the heart is evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Mark 7 says, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." And you know what? In that list, I'm all like, you know, feeling pretty good. Oh, sexual immorality. Nope, not me. Theft, murder. No, I'm good. Oh, arrogance is on that list. Am I ever arrogant? Oh, yeah. Do I ever think more of myself than I should? Pride? Yeah. Whew. You see, we can have evil thoughts but not be thinking they're evil thoughts. Have you ever thought, I wish something bad would happen to so-and-so? No, you never have. You know, more so I think it's sometimes we wish, you know, I wish they got what they deserved. Ever felt that? I wish they got what they deserved. It's all good. Now I'll take a drink. Mm-mm. Right? We sometimes wish, and here's the thing. I'm pretty glad I don't get what I deserve. And then I've experienced the grace of God. But I have those evil thoughts sometimes. I wish they would, you know, get in trouble. Whatever it is, that is a blockage of the heart. And God's word is what washes our mind. Being deep in the word of God. God's word is what makes things right with us. So, so important. And so the cleansing process is so important. How do we change? Well, there's two sides to it. There's the learning side, which comes through the Bible and the process and education step by step, maybe counseling. That's part of it. And the other part is the experience, an encounter with a living God, right? It's both. It's both things. And that's how we can change who we are. That's how we walk in a different road. You know, it isn't a magical thing. How do we guard our hearts? How do we root out that bitterness? How do we say, Lord, release me from the yucky thoughts that I have, the frustration I have with someone, the anger that comes out, getting in the word, not rocket science, but oh so hard, letting God's word indwell you richly, right? And then there is there is a part of counseling and talking with someone in a godly way that can help you, listening. But then sometimes it is on your knees, on your face before God, crying to him and saying, take this out. Dig it out. Whatever it takes, dig it out. I'm willing. I'm willing. Don't live with those things blocking your heart and keeping you from a relationship truly to walk in freedom with Jesus. So there's three steps, that sounds really good, but that we're going to talk about to transforming the heart. God is the one who does this work. God does it, but we allow it. We can put up the wall. You know, I once heard an illustration and it just really stuck with me that the Holy Spirit is often referred to in Scripture like a dove, right? The dove comes and represents. And so then someone talked about this, and I don't know if this is actually true or not, but it stuck with me. The dove versus a pigeon, because they look kind of alike to me. I don't know. Pigeons, you know, anybody, I was in downtown Chicago. Pigeons, they don't care. The noise of the city, they're there. Doves, however, only like quiet, and so they fly away when it is noisy. So if you got a lot of noise going on, it just encouraged me to go, oh, sometimes I need to quiet myself so I can hear the Holy Spirit, because he is not going to come squawking in my ear. Satan does that. The Holy Spirit just quietly comes. And it was just, for me, was a good picture of what it means to be still, to come before the Lord, to listen to him, to listen and hear the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. A soft heart. I love that scripture. And I know it was regarding something else, but I said, I want a soft heart before the Lord, before the Holy Spirit. I want to be malleable. I want to be moldable. I want to be clay in his hands, as he talks about. I don't want to be the hardened piece of pottery that thinks I've got it all together, I'm done, and you can't do anything more to me. I don't ever want to get there. I don't ever want to get there. I want to always be learning and growing, no matter what age I get, no matter how long I've walked with Christ. I want it to be fresh and new. So three steps. First, invite the Holy Spirit to show me. Invite the Holy Spirit to show me. Show me what is there. I cannot change what I cannot see. I need to give God permission to show me. We see that in Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. And of course, we know this is David's psalm, right? And when, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, how often do we walk, right, with, it's not me, it's them. But what I need to pray is show me my offensive way. I'm just going to point out your offensive ways. Scripture doesn't say go around pointing out everyone else's offensive ways. He doesn't. He says, you know, still me, anxious thought. See if there's any obnoxious way in me. The second thing is to invite the Holy Spirit to change me. Change me. Show me. Change me. Don't assume he's going to do it, right? Ask him to do it. Ask him to change me. I can't change myself. This is not pull yourself up with your bootstraps, try really hard, and I'm going to be a new person. That isn't what it is. It's transformation from the Holy Spirit. It is not try hard, do good, put on the facade, bring it all. I'm going to do it. It's not that. It won't last. True change comes from within. From the heart, from the Holy Spirit. And the third thing is invite the Holy Spirit to fill me. You see, sometimes when we root things out and we say, take this out, take this evil heart, now it's empty. Don't leave it empty. Say, Lord, fill me. That daily filling of the Holy Spirit, fill me. I don't want to leave myself empty because that leaves me too open to Satan's attacks to come in. Fill me. Ephesians 5, 18 says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't let, you know, your senses, your emotions, your feelings lead you, but let the Holy Spirit lead your life. Show me, change me, fill me. Now, I'm a very visual person, and so I gave you a bright colored card for a reason, because I like bright colors. I have this on my mirror because I want, it's just a reminder. Show me, change me, fill me. And I've said it so many times. The thing, so a friend of mine has the Cricut machine, the vinyl machine. We were talking about that this morning. So she has a vinyl thing and she did it. And I have it on my my cup that I drink out of just to remind me, show me. Holy Spirit, show me. Show me what's there. I don't want to be so prideful that I don't think there's anything there. Show me. Then change me. Change me. You change me. I can't change myself. I can't, you know, just make it happen. And then fill me with your Holy Spirit, with your love, with your heart for others. Fill me. I don't want to leave myself empty so that Satan can get in and attack even more. Show me. Change me. Fill me. Put that down and put it somewhere where you see it. Just a reminder for the things we talked about. Maybe for you, it's your mirror. Maybe for you, it's your steering wheel on your car. You spend a lot of time in there somewhere. And it doesn't, you don't have to keep this card, but do something so that it's fresh in front of you. Remind yourself, because see, it's so easy for those little things to creep in, for us to not really guard our heart and not realize that tiny little root was there. And then it grows. And it grows. And it grows. If there is someone you need to forgive, and you think, well, I've forgiven them. Forgiveness is a process. Like, it might be a daily process. And here's how you know if you really haven't forgiven someone. When someone says their name, and you go, and you have a thought. Or you see them, and you have a thought. It's like, okay, Lord, take it back again. Because forgiveness might be something you do daily. Right? It's a process. It's not a one and done. Like, oh, I forgave them, you know, 20 years ago. No, if it's still creeping up, if the thought is still there, if their name comes up and you have a thought and it's not great, there's still something there. And that's okay, because Satan would like to have you say, see, you said you forgave them. And there you are. No. That's condemnation. That's not from God. Holy Spirit says, ooh, see, that came up. There's a little root. Let's dig that out. I'll help you. I promise. I'll help you. And let's fill. How do we feel when we have that? Ooh, well, we maybe pray for that person. Isn't that the worst? I forgave them. Do I have to pray for them too? Yes. Bible tells us. Right? Why? Because that keeps our heart soft. Because it digs out that little root. Anybody? Okay, so I'm from North Carolina. I don't know what the soil is in Missouri. Wisconsin was great farmland, right? Like you could really dig. I moved to North Carolina and thought, what is this red clay crap stuff? You can't dig. You can't put a plant in. What is that? You know what we do with all the mums at our house? We put them in pots and we put the pots around. Nobody puts them in the ground. You can't dig in that stuff. I don't want my heart to be as hard as clay. I want mine to be that soft, rich soil. And how does it get there? Show me. Change me. Fill me. Let me get into your word. Let me be in relationship, because that's walking in freedom. If we walk around with anger and bitterness and resentment, it will come out. I was angry with my kids. I was so frustrated. Instead of earlier on when they weren't doing their work, you know, having a nice mom moment, right? I didn't. I waited until I got angry and screamed and clenched my teeth so that they could make a meme with a horrible picture. It had taken root. I was frustrated with some of the things. I was, you know, tired. And, of course, always fell in, well, Dan, if you would help me with some of the homeschooling. And then it was a whole big thing. So while my kids said, you know, we pressed your buttons, Mom, we did it on purpose, evil things, it also showed some of my heart that I needed to, you know, I thought I had it all together. I'm going to be this amazing homeschool mom. I'm going to be working and homeschooling and serving in church, and I'm going to do it all. And I realized I wasn't doing any of it. Not if I can scream at my kids. Show me. Lord, show me what's there. Show me the roots. Change me. And then fill me with your Holy Spirit, with your word, with your renewed life. And so, ladies, as we go home today and over the next few weeks, my heartbeat and prayer for all of us, me included, is that we would be different. That we would look at what is theirs. That we would not look at a theme that says rooted and grounded in Christ and we see a beautiful tree and deep roots and go, yeah, got it. But that we would say, okay, Lord, is there something there? Is there something I need to do to go back and apologize? Is there a blockage in the way that there's a little root of bitterness? I'm angry about somebody and what they've done. Do I need to forgive them? And have I really been holding on to the fact they don't deserve my forgiveness? Well, they don't. They don't, probably. But forgiveness is about you and not about them. What they did was wrong, was not right. Please don't hear me say, you know, we got to walk around and forgiving, you know, abusers and saying it's okay. No, you forgive an abuser so that you can walk in freedom with Christ. And maybe that you got to do some forgiving of yourself. Is there something in your life that you think, okay, I did this and that's why this is happening? It's because of this. And what kind of view of God is that? Because I did this one thing, he's going to punish me the rest of my life. No. He loves you. He died. He knows you did that thing. Whatever it is, there is forgiveness for you to walk in. Show me. Change me. Fill me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time that we've had together. What a blessing. And Lord, as we think about truly being rooted in you, it's so that we can walk in freedom. The roots of a tree grow deep so that it can handle and flourish and blossom and bear fruit and do all those things. That's why our roots need to grow deep. God, let us plant our roots deep in you. Deepen us, strengthen us, show us the places where there might be a root of bitterness, a word of rejection that we are hanging on to, evil thoughts that we are hanging on to. Lord, show us those places. So show us the places where we're really selfish and we think, well, I deserve this and, you know, I should get to do this. I should because of this. God, show us those places and then change us because only you can change us. Then fill us. Lord, I pray it may take some courage in this room. I don't have any idea, but Lord, there may be some people in this room, some ladies who need to forgive someone. And it could be a difficult thing. God, I pray you'd give them the courage and the strength to forgive, to understand that what that person did was not right, but they need to extend forgiveness for their own healing to begin so that they can walk in the true freedom in the tree of life that you designed. This is your plan. God, thank you. In Jesus' name.